Raider Nation Radio, Hour 3 of the Morning Tailgate. And on a weekend where Las Vegas truly shined, Clay, I mean, just in every form of the word. We were just talking about UNLV, big road win against Kansas. Top 25 for the first time in program history.
There it is.
UFC with an absolutely historic evening at the Sphere. I was lucky enough to be in attendance, and I can talk about it a little bit later, but I mean, it was show-stopping, to say the least. It was unbelievable. And then Sunday, you see another historic performance from Asia Wilson over at Michelob Ultra Arena.
Incredible.
Only woman in the WNBA to score 1,000 points in a season. I mean, Las Vegas is on top of it. And then you go into Baltimore, a game you had no business winning. Lamar, 16 carries, over 100 yards come week one. What does he do? He does absolutely nothing because the Raiders' defense. I mean, Patrick Graham should be applauded for the game plan,
everything
he did, the players, for executing. Vinny's been banging on the table. If they just execute, if they just live up to what their talent says, they'll be just fine. And guess what? They did.
And, Vince, I got to correct you.
Go ahead.
I don't think it's no business going to Baltimore and winning, or anywhere else for that matter. I can't stress this enough, Vincent.
No. That's not us saying that. I'm going off of what the NFL... There was not a single...
They went to Baltimore and did something that they had no business doing. I thought
according to every expert out there, there was, Clay, not one expert, pundit, went out there. That was the narrative.
12 analysts on CBS picked the Ravens.
Pick CBS, yeah. ESPN, Fox, NFL Network, not one picked the Raiders. So when I say they had no business going in there, that was the narrative.
It was the biggest upset on the board.
Absolutely, and I'll give you that, because I think we would disagree with that assessment, all of us, because I do believe that they have business beaten just about anybody on their schedule when they can play good complementary football. To me, they showed that yesterday, especially in that fourth quarter, and that should be affirmation for themselves, let alone the experts. Who cares what they have to say? Themselves. They'll earn that respect if they continue just to do what they are capable of doing. Just do your job at an efficient level. This team is good enough to win games just like they did yesterday, and just like they're capable of doing moving forward if they just do their jobs. It sounds so simple, but it's never been so simple for the Raiders, because to me they haven't had the talent that they have right now to be able to do that, to be able to confidently say that. And they showed that yesterday, which should create even more confidence moving forward.
And again, if you've listened to the Morning Tailgate, you would know that we sat here and said, there's a path to victory, which is why I say this morning, they had no business, according to the rest of the National Football League. There was no chance. Again, they weren't even a topic. Clay, they weren't. They didn't even give them 90 seconds of back and forth, or, well, you know, if they do that, there was none of that. It was like, let's get through these picks. We know what this game's going to be. They changed the narrative.
It was almost like it was the final game on the board.
That's what I mean. That's why Friday, what did we, Clay, we said this on Friday. We said nobody's going to pick the Raiders. They're not going to talk about them, but they can change the narrative by going out and doing what they need to do. And they did it. And they changed the narrative. And now everybody is looking at the Las Vegas Raiders little differently today. But you know who's not looking at them differently? Head coach Antonio Pierce, because this is a guy who has nothing but belief in the silver and black, and he was all smiles post-game in Baltimore.
Congratulations to our offense and our team, but we still got work to do. I love to answer that question, but there's a lot of meat on the bone. I'll be honest, we got to run the ball better, but I do say this. We came out in the second half, especially late in that third quarter, protected the quarterback. Quarterback did a heck of a job, you know, playing pitch and catch with one of the best receivers in the game. And a young rookie really stood out today, and Brock Bowers. And I thought it was just a good job of our guys being resilient, you know, having a hard hat mentality, keeping their composure, and being a more disciplined team.
Is that all it really took for Gardner, just get the protection? Because in the second half, the way he played.
Yeah, I mean, early on, I mean, we can blame a lot of people, but we had some breakdowns in protection. It's not good enough, because, you know, it happens on the first play where we got what we won, and quarterback doesn't have time. But once we figured that out and communication got better and guys gelled and they said, man, enough is enough, they did a hell of a job in the second half.
Antonio, 13-0 over the last 9.5 minutes. That's complimentary football that you're talking about, offense and defense.
Say that. What was the first one?
13-0 over the last 9.5 minutes of this game. Defense and offense complementing each other. You talked about that a lot. I know it's almost a cliche, but does it literally sometimes just come down to that?
Yeah, add special teams, right? They tackle inside the 20. They muffed, they shanked a punt. But to be honest, I told these guys last night and throughout the week, for us to beat, you know, the best team in football last year and still one of the best teams in football and the best football player in the game, in Lamar, we need all three units to play at their best. You like to do it for 60 minutes, but, you know, give it a shake, man. They all came together in the fourth quarter when we always talk about it, and all three phases showed up. Defense, you know, hey, what do you guys want to do? You want, you know, touchback or you want to cover it? Hey, coach, you want to cover the kick, ball inside the 20-yard line. Hell of a job. Then the offense goes down there. Boom, we score. And then at the end, you know, we're looking, they punt the ball and they shake it, and Daniel Carlson goes out there and hits the game winner.
AP, you referenced a lot of meat on the bone, a lot of things to fix, but how much easier is it as a coach to fix stuff after a win?
Oh, big. And a win where we were 10-point underdogs, disrespected the National Football League. I've been in the game a long time. Not too many times teams get picked by to lose by 10 points. Our guys took it personal, and that was good, and we got a lot of cleanup to do tomorrow.
How do you describe Devontae's ability to make big catches down the stretch, and obviously he's the focal point? What do you see in Devontae in games like this?
Yes, I mean, I go back to, you know, when I first took over, it's like, hey, get the best player, you know, the ball. 12 targets, and again, we wish we could have some more out there, but, you know, when you got your best guy going against somebody else, and you think you got an opportunity to make plays, and I thought Gardner, as the game went on, just kept taking shots, and either a penalty or, you know, big time catch, toe tapping by Devontae. It was just really good to see, man. And me and Tay had a good conversation late last night, and we kind of looked at each other with one of those nods and said, all right, let's go. And then, you know, going for it on fourth and two, we go to our best player. Didn't happen. Then later in the game, it does. Right. So really good job by Tay, man, and just our team in general. Like, you know, Tay has some drops too now, right? But then Tay came big when we needed him. That's the most important.
Speaking about best players, Max Crosby, it almost gets taken for granted sometimes, but he was sort of a man possessed out there.
Best player on the field today.
Yes.
And that's what I asked. I asked our guys, you know, their best versus our best, who's going to be the best when we're, you know, standing after the game. And I think our two best players stood up, 17-98.
You talked in Coach Mason about how close the team was, the closeness. So that kind of a key for a win like today to come back from behind and kind of win down the stretch?
I think so. I mean, because it was a dogfight in the first half. Probably wasn't pretty, you know, going in half at 9-6. And I told these guys at halftime, like, look, we got to come out with a little bit more juice. And we did, but it didn't translate on the field in the third quarter right away. But what I love to see with our team, man, Spills interception. I look out there, and there's like 50 guys on the field or 40, whatever many guys dressed. We kick the game, you know, win the field goal. All those guys out there celebrating. And it's just what I like to see when I turn around and I look to the sideline and I don't see nobody all on the field. I'm glad the officials haven't done anything to us. But just a celebration and a joy to watch each other make big plays.
You've talked about getting off to a fast start this year. You go back on to Las Vegas now 1-1, going home for two games. How big was just being able to split those games?
Man, it's big. Our crowd has traveled, you know, outstanding the last 2 weeks. In L.A. and here in Baltimore late in the game, they showed up. But it's time for us to put on a show back in Vegas at home and take care of home and Raider Nation. We're coming. We're looking forward to you.
What a way to end a presser. Antonio Pierce is elite at ending his pressers with something that just gives you, really teases you throughout the week. And we'll have plenty of time to talk about what to expect and look ahead to week 3 home opener for the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium, but we are continuing to dive deep in the Raiders' 26-23 road win in Baltimore. Vinny, you were able to capture some amazing footage post-game between Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco that really emphasizes how hard it is to win in the National Football League and how good it feels to win.
Yeah, and deservedly so. I don't know if you haven't seen it, it's on my Twitter page or X page, whatever you want to call it. It was Tom Telesco waiting outside the Raiders locker room as players and coaches and staff came off the field into the locker room, and you know, as soon as Antonio saw Tom, he just made a beeline to him and darn near took a couple of ribs out. If you look at him, he's punching him in the ribs. It's an emotional hug. And you know, for those of us that cover the team, and you know, I don't root for teams. I can't. You know, I have a job to do, and I have to be impartial and all that. But when you cover sports long enough, you understand how much this means, and how much those that are involved, how much of their heart and soul they pour into this thing. And that's why sometimes I do cringe. I'll be the first to admit it. I cringe at some of the comments I see online on social media, because you know how much it means to these guys and women that are part of, you know, the entire process. And so the genuine emotions that Antonio and Tom Telesco shared with each other after that win was as genuine as it gets, and it does mean a lot to them. And it doesn't always work out. That's the unfortunate part about sports. You can, you know, put everything you have into something, and that doesn't guarantee anything. You still might get your heart ripped out. So it is worth enjoying the moments when you do come out on the right side of this thing. And, you know, I go back to some of the things that Antonio Pierce talked about, Vince. And the fact of the matter is they had answers in spite of the fact that, or despite the fact that, you know, maybe they didn't ace the entire test. It wasn't a perfect score by any means. And there are things that need to be cleaned up. But even in an afternoon where, hey, you'd like to throw that first half out offensively, and definitely not defensively, they played well. The run game still wasn't there. But we've talked about how they figured out a way to win. They still had the right amount of answers to win a football game on the road against a proud opponent and a very good opponent and the reigning MVP. That should be something that creates some optimism, whether it's at the facility in Henderson or among Raider Nation, that in spite of not having all the answers, they found enough answers. And when you can find enough answers, even when it's not your best day across the board, that's a pretty good feeling right there, and that's cause for optimism and confidence.
You know, the biggest upset on the board, obviously, according to the books, an outright win for the Raiders. As we talked about, not a single person picked the Raiders to win, yet the talk post-game from the national media, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. When you talk about the reigning MVP and what the Raiders were able to do to keep him in check in both the air and the ground game, to be honest, nowhere to be found. That being said, you talk about the discussion that's being had, and we asked Eric Allen last hour what that feeling is. Guys are feeling good, but now it's time to say, hey, this is what we can do. Let's build on it. That's what they're going to do to week three. And you talk about pouring your heart and soul. That's why these guys care. I mean, these are 18, 20, 22-hour days inside the facility, pouring over film, pouring over tape. That's why you do all those push-ups in the gym. That's why you lift all them weights. I mean, there's a lot, and that's why if you want to go look at X at Vinny Bonsignor, those moments.
Antonio Pierce went at Telesco like he was a tackling sled. It was great. And Telesco, you know, to his credit, he's doing some sit-ups and some push-ups because he had to hold on for dear life.
But to Vinny's point, we need to check on his ribs. Those things are feeling some kind of way today.
You know, there was something else that Antonio said. That first play of the game, I saw so many complaints about Luke Getsy. Why'd they spread it out? You know, what are you doing? Well, they got exactly what they wanted, and they had open men downfield. It was, if I remember correctly, it was a Colton Miller and Andrews Pete. It might have been just a miscommunication.
It was a miscommunication.
Play.
He passed him off when he shouldn't have. Yep.
Right. So I understand that the offensive coordinator and the coach is always an easy target, but damn it, man. It does come down to execution. You could call all the great plays you want or all the bad plays you want. Doesn't matter if your guys aren't executing. And that was a simple case of bad execution. Who knows what happens if that play is allowed to evolve the way it's intended to? Because as Antonio Pierce said, we got what we wanted. That's his exact quote. They saw what they wanted to see. They got the reaction from the Baltimore Ravens based on that spreading it out offense, which, by the way, I guarantee you the Ravens were surprised at that. They probably figured, yeah, it's going to be 12 personnel in tight. They're going to try to run it. What'd they do? They spread it out. They got the look defensively that they wanted. We saw later in the game what it means when Gardner Minshew has enough time to be able to throw to the type of targets that they have. It wasn't a bad play call. It was just bad execution. And I'm not saying that to point my finger at anybody. I'm saying it to, before you start criticizing the coach and start wanting to fire coaches, just like as a lot of fans wanted to do Patrick Graham a couple of years ago, just understand that execution plays a huge role in it as well, and that's not on the coaches.
702-365-9200. We'll get out to the phones and hear from you, as well as up on the text line from the Dollar Loan Center. 702-365-9200. Going through the high grass of the Carolinas, it's Snake Man. Good morning to you.
Hey guys, the DDC.
Good morning.
Back in formation with Raider Nation. Hey, a couple things offensively. Boy, what a difference it makes when Minshew can have a moving pocket. He was planting his feet, delivering the ball with decisiveness, and really pretty much good accuracy yesterday. Really, that bodes very well for the offense here in the future. And, man, I'll tell you, I don't know if he got my text or not, but I just bought, to my wife's chagrin, I bought one of these scooters, you know, one of these electric scooters. I'm going to name it Brock because this thing right out of the damn box. Just like give it a quick charge, jump on it, hit the button. This thing hauled ass. I almost killed myself on it already. But pure electric, and that is Brock Bowers, right out of the box, unpackaged, ready to rock and roll. And that's exactly what the Raiders needed. Unbelievable. And this guy, like you said, he is just scratching it right now. We just need to get Big Johnson back in there at left guard. And I think, you know, this funny thing is on that one reception that Vontae Adams had down the sideline, you could see Big Johnson over here on the sidelines. And to me, he looked really energetic, really healthy, with just high energy guy like that, you know, on the offensive line. I think this is a perfect get right game coming up against the Panthers. I know I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but they are just awful. And that owner deserves everything he's getting over there over here in Charlotte, because he is a miserable guy. So I think this is a good stretch for the Raiders. And by the way, Vinny, just looking at the Rams, they're all banged up. So that suddenly becomes a winnable game, too, for the Raiders. I'm getting ahead of you a little bit, but I'm just saying the Rams right now are going through some serious stuff with their injury issues. So if we can just hang tight here, get right, and get our offensive line back together again, I think we're going to be in really good shape. And one last thing, just updating you on Kuntz, because I think if that was a really bad season injury, ending injury, we would have been notified of that right now. So maybe Kuntz back week 5 or 6, and we get this defensive edge tandem going pretty strong. See you guys.
Well,
thanks, Nick.
I don't want to throw a wet towel on those hopes, but I'd give it a little bit longer. Hopefully that isn't the case, but I would give it a little bit longer for Malcolm Kuntz, just based on, you know, what I'm hearing, and for those, you know, fans out there that, you know, are already calling Jackson Powers Johnson a bust, or that there's some conspiracy theory going on, guys, just chill. All right, this is a long game involved. He's got a long career ahead of himself with the Raiders. Nobody's going to remember that he missed a couple of games to start it because he's coming off the illness and the injury that he had during minicamp and training camp. Just give it a little bit of time. And to Snake's point, I was watching Jackson Powers Johnson, whether it was on the field before the game and over there on the sidelines. He was in great spirits. He's moving around great. I think he's really close to coming back, and he will make a difference, Vince, to your point, eventually. You know, we can't expect perfection right off the bat, but I think just his presence out there, this is a big old dude, big old powerful dude. I think he's going to have an impact on that offensive line, but everyone just needs to have a little bit of patience. Let something play out. Let it play out. And really what you want, if you're the Raiders, to do is be able to get Jackson Powers Johnson out there for the long haul. And one of the ways that you help, it's not necessarily ensure it 100%, but it's to put yourself in a better position, is not rushing it when you don't have to rush it. Just have some patience.
An elite phone call from Snake Man.
Yeah.
Like a scooter, out of the box and electric, Brock Bowers. That's fantastic. And to just follow up and fine-tune that last point, that catch on the sidelines with Devontae Adams that he's referencing, Jackson Powers Johnson jumping. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see. He looked healthy. Yeah. He looked happy. And when you talk about, you know, guys rallying around each other, it's moments like that that really give you a little indication of what that locker room is like. We are still diving deep. 702-365-9200. We want to hear from you in this final hour on a Victory Monday for the Morning Tailgate.
Absolutely. And look, we always talk about this, about our good friends over at LendingStore.com. We've all encountered this issue where all of a sudden you need a little extra money, like right now. Maybe you need $500 to $5,000 as early as tomorrow. Maybe you're losing some sleep over it or fretting over it because the credit cards are maxed out, or maybe the credit's not where it needs to be. Don't worry and don't lose any sleep, because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Here's what you do. Go to LendingStore.com, Have their experts help you find a lender that can get you that $500 to $5,000 in your bank account as early as tomorrow. Just
Blade, who had three picks last year with the Raiders' first takeaway of the season.
Raiders Radio Network, Jason Horowitz. As Carlos up on the text line, he's got some bass to the game. When you're winning, yeah, you're letting it fly on all cylinders. Jason Horowitz, Lincoln Kennedy with the call. They're awesome yesterday, and we're back here on the Morning Tailgate. Vinny Bonsignor, Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker, and you, and Funky Raider 31 on the text line. He's like, "And hey, please don't forget about Jack Jones. Don't forget about him. He actually saved the game on Baltimore's last series, broke up that pass because their tight end had hands on the catch, and that would have put him in field goal range.
Yes, that's true.
Out to Southern California on the phone call, it's Gangsta Raider. Good morning to you, sir.
What's happening? They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They might sound like us, Raiders and Ravens, and they might wear black like us, but they ain't built like us. And I want to give a standing ovation to the whole entire team. This is what I expected last week out here in L.A., but we didn't get that. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to talk about yesterday. Yesterday, they showed up. They played stout. They played good defense, even though the offense didn't really show up in the first half. They didn't mess up bad enough to where the game got out of hand. You know what I'm saying? And also, the offense stepped up in the second half, really in the fourth quarter, and they did what they did what they needed to do on the road to steal the victory. You know what I'm saying? And I want to give out game cigars. You know what I'm saying? My first game cigar goes to Jack Jones, like the caller, like the text man just said, who broke up the play at the end that would have put them in potential field goal range to tie the game. But Jack Jones broke all that up, an L.A. Raider. You know what I'm saying? The other cigar goes to Antonio Pierce getting his first official win as an official head coach, not interim, but the official head coach. This is his first win. So, and he played, I mean, not he coached different this game. He coached tougher. He out-coached Harbaugh, and he socked Harbaugh in the mouth, you know what I'm saying, this week. It's what I thought we was going to do last week, but that's neither here nor there. The other game cigar goes to my boy, Mad Max, you know what I'm saying? He showed up. He sacked Lamar Jackson twice. I seen two big old hits on Chris Henry, not Chris Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Derrick Henry in the backfield. He did his thing. The other cigar goes to Spillane, because I'm expecting big things from Spillane this season. I don't know if you heard me on Q's show, but I predicted that he'll be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year, and I'm expecting a lot from Spillane. And my other cigar goes to D.A., Davante Adams. Everybody showed up, showed out. You know what I'm saying? This was what I was expecting last week, but you know what I'm saying? As long as we got it done this week, just win, baby. Don't matter how we win. It don't say just win pretty. It say just win, baby. You know what I'm saying? That's all I wanted to do. And also, I wanted to give a shout out to the offensive line. Even though a lot of people giving them crap because they can't, you know, do the run, they showed up in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? They got it together. They did what they needed to do for us to get the victory, and that's all that mattered. Like OEP said, we got a lot of improvement to do, a lot of meat on the bone, but let's celebrate it. You know what I'm saying? Because we could be 0-2, which I really thought was going to happen. That's why I'm so happy that they got the win in Baltimore. They showed up. They showed out. They showed what I thought we was going to be. You know what I'm saying? So we should be optimistic, Raider Nation. Keep it gangster, y'all. I'm gone. Raiders! I'm out.
Thank you, Gangsta Raider, handing out the cigars. What was that? How would you describe what the locker room looked and smelled like after that game?
Yeah, it was extremely happy when we were in the. It was right next door to the interview room where I was initially for Gardner Minshew and Antonio Pierce, and you could just hear them coming through the walls and the door. They were extremely happy. I didn't smell any cigars by the time I got into the locker room, so I think some others have said that there might have been some cigar smoking going on in there before I got there, but a really happy Raiders team without question. But I also think a team that has things in the right perspective. You know, there's a lot like we've been talking about and they've been talking about to clean up. They were able to win a game against a really good opponent on the road in spite of not having their best fastball with them, but they found a way to win, and that's what good teams do. And I do think that the Raiders have the makings of a good football team. They need to believe that. They need to understand that. And you know, the respect will come. I know that this wasn't a very highly thought of game coming into it, and I know the Raiders were 10-point underdogs at the end of the day when all the betting was done. But you earn your respect in professional sports. You earn your respect in the NFL. And if the Raiders want to be talked about on Monday mornings in a good way or at all, they just need to get they need to stack together wins and earn that respect, and that's what it all boils down to, and that's really on them, and I think they understand that. And I know that they use everything else for motivation as they should, but if they want to be talked about in ways that they want to be talked about, that requires them doing what they did yesterday, and that's beating good teams and stacking together as many wins as possible.
Gangster brought up Jack Jones, and it just doesn't it feel like he's just. He's just lurking in the weeds like a big play is just about to pop out of Jack Jones. I mean, he looked really good. There's nothing he's given up that's been like, man, what's Jack Jones do? I mean, he just feels like he's kind of right there. Jakorian Bennett made that disruption play that led to the Robert Spillane interception. We asked Eric Allen about it, and he was obviously very hopped up for JB, as he put it. But there was a play, I believe it was in the second quarter, on third down, Jakorian Bennett breaks up a pass, and that's what on third down, and Justin Tucker then misses the 56-yard field goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jakorian Bennett has been, I don't know if revelation is too drastic of a word, but he is a guy that was talked about all summer, and he is, his teammates went to bat for him. He spoke up for himself saying, you're getting a different guy, you're getting a confident guy, and we're seeing it, right? We talk about all the talk, right? All the talk that we're hearing. We're seeing it. I mean, Jakorian Bennett not only does he not look out of place, he's making plays and big-time plays. And so when you look at the Raiders' defense, Max is going to get all the headlines, rightfully so. He is an absolute monster out there. Christian Wilkins is a freak of an athlete. But this secondary and what these specifically these corners have been able to accomplish in these first two games, very impressive. And again, it feels like Jack Jones is there's just something waiting for him. Maybe it's at Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah, and a couple of points on that. Number one, Max has always been a monster. Let's face it, hasn't he? And even when he was a monster, this Raiders defense was giving up close to 30 points a game over the years. Thankfully for him, he's now got a supporting cast that's able to now those sacks are in hugely meaningful moments in close games because the rest of the defense has now been built as well. And that's not to say that, it's not a shot at Max in any way, shape, or form. He's always been doing this, but he needed other players. The Raiders defense needed other players to go along with them, and now that they have that, Jack Jones. You know what's really interesting about that, Vince? Yeah, you're right. I think a big play is waiting, right? And I think that he's going to make his share of big splash plays throughout the course of this year because that's just how good he is. But what I really like about Jack Jones right now is even though those haven't necessarily happened, he's consistently been good doing the small things, the little things, everything you need to do to be a good cornerback in this league. And what has Antonio Pierce, what has Marvin Lewis always said about Jack Jones? It's the big plays are going to be there. It's the consistency that they need to see. He needs to be consistent, play in and play out. And so while the overall big splashy plays haven't happened yet, you haven't been talking about Jack Jones very much is because he's doing all those other things consistently, play in and play out. And that's the mark of a really good football player. And yes, Jakorian Bennett. Oh, boy, by the way, another example of just have a little bit of patience. Don't run guys out of town at the first sign of duress. That's not how this all works. Young players get better. Young players can develop. And that's exactly what we're seeing from Jakorian Bennett. And it's another example of the importance of patience, the importance of development, the importance of a guy like Antonio Pierce understanding it doesn't always happen overnight for players. He's an example of that himself, and he's a self-made player. He was a self-made football player that had a great career in the NFL, but it wasn't happening day one for Antonio Pierce. But he understands more just as much as anybody else that sometimes it takes time, and time is required. And, just kick people to the curb because it didn't happen immediately. And I'm happy for Jakorian Bennett, because there was never any wavering inside that Raiders building. Remember how many times Vince and Clay, everyone talked about The Raiders need to go draft a quarterback. The Raiders need to go sign a quarterback. Why haven't the Raiders signed a quarterback? And what were we saying? Like, I think there's belief in the guys that they have in the room right now. I think there's belief and confidence that it's going to get turned around and that Jakorian Bennett's going to be exactly who they thought he was going to be when they drafted him. And so far, so good on that front.
The conversation has been a good one today. Obviously, that's going to happen on a Victory Monday. In those that are following us on X at Vince Sapiens, at Vinny Bonsignor, at Clay Baker Radio, or hitting us up on the Dollar Loan Center text line, 702-365-9200. Ty in Missouri pointed something out that I missed, and I had to look at it, but he sent us a tweet or an X or whatever of all the great things that we saw yesterday. We haven't talked about Christian Wilkins jumping over Max Crosby after his second sack, and I no idea what he was talking about. So I went back and looked at the footage. So in the fourth quarter on that second sack that just absolutely stuffed Lamar Jackson, 6'4", 310 Christian Wilkins jumps over the head of 6'5", Max Crosby in celebration, and Max is not crouched over. He's standing up. We talk about what a freak athlete.
That's like Cirque du Soleil stuff right there.
I mean, sign him up. Yeah. If whatever he wants to do with the Raiders. But, spirits are high. Jumps are high for Christian Wilkins, obviously. But this defense really feels like it's coming together quick, too, doesn't it? You know, we knew the offense was going to be a work in progress. I don't know if we thought it was going to be as slow of a process or at least the starting point was going to be what it was in Weeks 1 and the first half of Week 2. But this defense is coming along a lot quicker and really holding this team on its back, I think more so than many thought, many hoped maybe, in terms of just how much they're putting on themselves. But, man, what I keep going back. It's such a great word to describe that game, refreshing. It is refreshing to see whoever spoke. We know Devontae Adams spoke. We know Max said stuff to Gardner on the sidelines. Whoever spoke, whoever really created the spark, and it was probably a collective, man, that offense sat there and said, all right, let's just go out and make plays. And yeah. And a lot of credit goes to Gardner on that, Vinny, because, I mean, for as much as that's being talked about for him and just like being the facilitator, I really feel like Gardner made some plays that needed to be made. Devontae did. He made his plays. Brock made his plays. But Gardner was a little more than just a facilitator in that second half.
Yeah, he was. And he got a little bit more time as the game went on. They started, putting him in a little bit on the move to make some throws, open up, you know, buy himself some more time that way, and also open up, you know, windows down the field. And he did what he's capable of doing, and it was a great sight to see for the Raiders. And as far as that defense goes, I could just remember times in training camp where we were, whether it was Q and I or whoever else was there, and we were literally asking ourselves, is this defense as good as it looks? I mean, it was dominating from day one in training camp. It was like stifling, and I know that there were frustrating days for the offense because they could just never get anything on track because the defense was just so dominating. So to see it continue into the season, there are some things that they need to clean up. They gave up, 154 yards on the ground, over 80 to Derrick Henry, and then, you know, Lamar Jackson had, I think it was over 50 yards. So there's still some work that needs to be done in the running game, but a lot of that happened in the first half. In the second half, I felt like the defense got even better, two tough opponents to play, two tough physical opponents to play against, I would imagine. And I don't want to, jinx the Raiders by any stretch of the imagination, but it might get a lot easier for them on Sunday against Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers. They just seem to be years down the road from whatever it is that they're trying to be. So this could get really ugly for the Carolina Panthers and for Bryce Young, if they're not ready to play. And I know Raider Nation wants it to be on the ugliest of ugly sides for the Carolina Panthers offense, but I can only imagine what it's going to look like on Sunday when that Panthers offense goes against this defense, which is absolutely the real deal.
Coming up next, our final sit-down here on the Morning Tailgate. Before we do, we'll clear the phone lines for your chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Bert Kreischer, Double Down Tour, two nights at the Resorts World Theater. Coming up September 27th and 28th, you can get your tickets at AXS.com. I have two here for you, 702-365-9200. It's the Morning Tailgate.
Asking people if they'll switch seats with me for fun.
Vince Sapienza.
That's right, we do. Hey!
Vinny Bonsignor.
It's a stereotype, and it's offensive.
Clay Baker.
I'm German-Irish.
Oh! Oh!
Oh!
Back up.
On Raider Nation Radio.
I want to sit down.
We've already arrived at the sit down.
It's here.
It has flown by out of Victory. Why do the Victory Mondays got to fly by like that?
I know, we didn't even have a chance to enjoy the antipasto.
We, man,
the just sitting there in its, juices. I can smell the oil and vinegar. It's not fair.
The Antonio Pierce set to meet with the media in about an hour's time. Christian Wilkins will meet, as he is now a Monday presser guy. He will meet shortly after Antonio Pierce. Team will get the day off Tuesday, and then it's back to work on Wednesday as all eyes now point toward Allegiant Stadium, the home opener for the Raiders, as they play host to the hapless Carolina Panthers. The Tailgate, all three of us back in studio, reunited tomorrow morning. So that is good news. And, you know, there's a couple things that stuck out. It's hard to get past all the things that happened in Vegas, Vinny. The Sphere was unbelievable. And I need a whole show just to kind of break down what I saw, what I felt, all that kind of stuff. It was amazing. It has ruined sporting events for me forever because of how incredible it was. I thought I was in a piece of cinema. I thought I was in film. It's going to win all these awards. But you know what else stuck out to me on Sunday? And I'll get your guys' takes as we close out the show. Josh Jacobs. My goodness.
Big night.
A 32 carries, 151 yards in a game where everybody knew he was going to run the rock. And he still ran it, and he ran it well. 56 rushes Green Bay had in that game. That was kind of a big takeaway for me. What about you, Vinny?
Yeah, he also threw up on the football, and it's a reason why Malik, their quarterback, didn't throw a football because he went over to the sideline and Matt LaFleur, why didn't you throw it like you're supposed to? Josh threw up on the football. And LaFleur is like, I never heard that one before. So yeah, they were working him without question. By the way, Adam Hill made it to Baltimore yesterday,
yes,
so he was
did.
At the game. Had covered the UFC fight. He said that it was an amazing experience. Yeah, my takeaway is the Raiders found out, you know, what they're capable of, and I know that they understood what they're capable of when they put it all together and who they can go beat, who they're capable of competing with. Now it's just a matter of trying to do that now for 60 minutes. It was enough to do it for 12 minutes or so of the fourth quarter. They need to do it more consistently over the course of a football game, an entire football game. And if they do, Vince, there's a path to 9-10 wins. I firmly believe that with this Raiders team.
Go online to lvsportsnetwork.com for our podcast page. In fact, go and get the LV Sports Network app. It streams clearly on iPhone and Android. Free to use, free to download. We're out of time. Go up online and check it out, lvsportsnetwork.com. Stay tuned and keep it on Raider Nation Radio all day long for JT the Brick from 12 to 2 and Q Myers from 2 to 5 with Unnecessary Roughness. For Vince, I'm Vinny. Have a nice day, everybody.